Mr. Gay Wan Gui, room 13.
Repeat. We were rather sorry. We had left in a way because we did not know where we were going to. But we somewhat cheered when somebody said that it was not too bad. It was quite good.
What about your observations of how the other people who were in the same batch as yourself?
They were all quite chatty at first, but soon they were too tired to talk. They all kept themselves to themselves. They were all sleepy and they were all resting quietly as best they could.
The Endow settlement, how far away was it from the town itself?
From Endow village, you mean, the seaside village. Well, it was only about a mile, just a mile. But you must remember, at that time there was no quick transport. You either had to walk or go by block cart or bicycle.
So the lorry sent all of you straight to the settlement?
Yeah, to the settlement, yes.
What was your first impression of the settlement when it just arrived?
Well, when first arrived, we couldn't see very much because it was late, you know. But we were quite excited. And I don't know whether I can say that for the rest, but when I saw the thing, I then realized that the conditions were rather primitive. That the same platform, the partitions and walls were just made of leaves, stitched together. That was about all. But there were many people, and that made the things look better, and the people seemed to be quite cheerful. And along there were some of the older settlers who came around to see us, and one or two came in and sort of welcomed us, came right in. And later, when we were more settled down, I took a walk outside along the street to see what the people were selling. And it was something like the Pasar Malam, so things were not too bad. And surprisingly, the first night, when we went through the first night, there were no mosquitoes, because the mosquito control was very... But it was quite disappointing, in fact, because things were very primitive.
Was the place enclosed?
It was enclosed, but by leaves, with leaves. You just could put your hand right through and punch a hole.
Was the whole settlement?
No, the whole settlement was right open.
Do you remember whether there were any signs or any just a kind of entrance that says that is the Endow settlement itself?
I never noticed any special words saying this is Endow or Baha, Endow or anything of the sort. I never noticed it, actually. You just understood that it was Endow. When you go there, you find a big settlement with thousands of people, living there.
First day of arrival, you said that you arrived sometime about 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Were there any kind of reception planned for all of you?
No, I don't think so. It was too late.
So how did all of you know where to settle? Where to go to?
Oh, do you mean they come reception? Oh, you mean they come reception? Of course, they know that this batch was all going to Long Five. Really. They would alert us. The people allotted by the committee there. I'm sorry, in that case, yes. Well, what, when you said reception, I began to think of this noise and whatnot.
There weren't any of that.
No. You are not important VIP. So
all of them knew, all of you knew that you were going to this?
Yes, they all knew where we were going.
So, when you reached Lorong 5, how did you know which place was allocated to you? Or was it a kind of community park or something?
I believe they have an idea, you know, that which lorry contains which people to, and where to guide them. I believe these people who led us to the various huts, or just they arbitrarily put us and we just went. And by chance or by luck, we just got... They all look the same to me, except some are in the corner, some in the center. They're not separate huts. They're like a long barrack and partitioned in sections, and a long platform. So we are all actually sleeping, 10 families all sleeping on a platform, same platform.
When you enter, that was by the main road, and then you start at the junction of the main road and Lorong 5. So when you look down Lorong 5, could you describe for us how was it like? Was there only one long hut or several long
huts? You see, when you look down Lorong 5, you find this side one long hut on the right hand side, and then the other side there's another lorong, there's another one long hut. Is it one long hut? So you see, is the so we are facing the backyard of the other one. No face to face, you know. Our front is face the backyard of the other one, and the other one will face the backyard of the other one. One row, one row, not houses facing face to face.
So how many rows, in one row?
One.
So how long would the lorong be?
Oh, must be pretty long, I don't know. They're quite long.
One row, but how many huts were there?
I think about 10, eh? 10 sections. You don't call them 10 sections, divided into 10 sections. No, one barracks divided into 10 sections.
So how many barracks were there?
One for each row. One, two, and about five blocks, like this. Five blocks, about five of these blocks.
Of what?
These blocks of flats.
Meaning, what was about five?
About five blocks. How wide is this?
You mean the barracks? Were
five blocks long.
So on that night when you first arrived, you just went to the huts allocated for you. Who were the people who brought you there? Who were the people who brought you into that hut?
They were the people who were the earlier settlers. They must have been asked by the arranged by the delegated by the committee to do that. Yeah. Anyway, it was done in an orderly manner. There was no scuffle or rush.
So there were people waiting for all of you when you reached there.
If you see that, yes, yes, I think.
So, for that first night, did anything else happen after you settled into your space?
No, we're too tired to do anything, yes.
Mr. Gay, the long communal hut that you mentioned, was it the place that all the new arrivals had to settle down first before they were allocated their own land and before they built their own houses?
Yes, we all had to live in those long huts first before we were allocated our lands. So we had to stay there because we had to sort things out, yeah, and distribute the lands to us later at the administrative office and had us sign the proper papers.
Could you give us a description of the settlement? Was there a kind of a center where the, you mentioned about the administrative office?
Yes, there is a main road, and branching from the main road would be side roads, which are named as lorongs. The one road to the right would be Lorong 1, and the opposite to the left would be Lorong 2, and so on alternately, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on. And as each batch of settlers came up and down, they would take the longhouse, settle in the longhouse in Lorong, one lorong. You see, if that's not sufficient, they will overflow to the next lorong. And that means that they would have to prepare enough accommodation for the next batch to come along before they would bring them up. It takes a lot of preparation. As I said already, they planned the thing very carefully. There was would have to be drainage, sanitary conditions, and a certain amount of privacy and cooking facilities and such things. The minimal basic living conditions must be provided.
Who would be the people who built these huts for the new settlers?
The construction department. They had a special construction department under the charge of this section, which is equivalent to our PWD or something of sort.
Normally, how long would a batch of settlers stay in the hut before they were allocated their land?
It would depend on the speed with which they cleared the land that is available, and the willingness of the settlers to take. Of course, they will not be allowed to stay too long if possible because they have got to, they had to make way for new settlers coming in. Some did stay a long time, obviously, because they had taken up certain trades like selling vegetables and foodstuffs as hawkers, and they had made money quite conveniently and served their purpose, so they did some vegetable gardening in the patches of land next to these long houses. They found it sufficient, so they didn't bother to develop their or claim their farmlands and give to other people. It was a matter of first come first serve. Those who went early had better lands. Those who went late had to take lands of farther away, or lands that were rather difficult and inaccessible.
Did the people in charge give a time limit as to how long it would stay in the hut?
As far as I don't quite know, probably it would be about 6 months, I think. The moment the person was allotted, he would be taken to see the land, and will be allowed to assistance to clear the land. But we were so anxious to get out that we tried our very best to have a big piece of land and clear and build our own house as quickly as possible.
Besides these long huts, what other facilities were there in the sort of this settlement center?
There were no facilities except the rice was easily available. If you had the money, the rations were there, given to us, and we could buy vegetables, fish, meat, and quite easily if we had the money. And there was bartering to be done, trade bartering, like my wife, when we were short of money, she would bring her own clothes and so on into the Malay kampongs and sold them to the Malay folks who seemed to be quite well off with Japanese money. And we managed quite well. If we did not move to settlement, we might have carried on till the end of the war. And I was doing work, as I said, as teaching in a small school there. When I went there, the school was already started. And the administration knew that I was a teacher and said, you go in and help Mr. Martin Chen, who was in charge of the school, to teach in the school.
So at this center, there was a school there already when you arrived?
Yes, there was a school there.
Besides the school, were there shops or market?
Yes, as I said, there were shops. There were no shops actually, but night pasar malam kind of thing. At night, it was Lorong 5, strange as it seemed, because by that time a lot of people had arrived there. It was Lorong 5 that seemed to be chosen as the most convenient and central place for them to have the pasar malam, or night market. And you could buy, strange to say, all sorts of things there, from food to even some children's toys. And we had one of the best restaurants to move in there, the Wing Chun Yin.
At Lorong 5?
No, that was situated near the main road, just behind the store and of the settlement. There's a big ground there, and behind the grounds there was a restaurant.
Besides the restaurant and the school, what other buildings? What other buildings were there?
There were the administrative building, and at the corners, the sections, there were some sections reserved for coffee shops. That was one of the things they reserved for people to meet and have the morning cups of coffee and talk. I think that was about all. And yes, there was one small stage where in the evenings people could organize to play music, you know, whether English music or Chinese music, orchestra. If they had a few people to come together, they could play music, entertain their small group, or entertain whoever wanted to go get around to listen or watch.
Where was the stage?
The stage was located somewhere in a suitable place, not far from the administrative building, so the people walking along the main road.
Where was the administrative building?
The administrative building was at the entrance to the settlement. So as you turn to enter the settlement, there was the administrative section.
you describe the building for us?
No, it was just a barn-like structure, you know. Just all these are not permanent building stuff. Just built like that. I don't know what would happen later, but of course it was not the same, not exactly the same as a long huts, but better built. Yeah?
What about the school? Where was the school?
The school was in one of the Lorongs. I don't know which one was it. I just walked to that place. Again, it was one of those long huts with the partitions removed. That was all.
And you mentioned there was a store there also. Where was it and what was it for?
What store?
A store.
A store for storing rice and sugar, so that if you wanted to get your rations, you could go there, you see.
Where was the store?
Yeah, right in front of the administrative building there. Yeah. And the construction materials are largely kept there also.
Were there many coffee shops there that you mentioned earlier?
I wouldn't know that because I only went to two, one at the outside and one inside Lorong 10 and one near the main road. There was all. There might be others, I wouldn't know.
Do you remember roughly how big was this area where the long huts were and where all these main buildings were?
Oh, the area must be quite large, you know, because it had to include so many families. I remember walking from one end to the other to quite a time, say about 100 yards, or more than 100 yards, 100 yards or so. See, and one family would have so many feet long of sleeping space, and each the width would be around about 25 to 30 feet, not counting the little bit of backyard for washing and the land, extra land upon which we, with our initiative, we could build something, you see. There was a space, and we could improvise, provided we did not go against any of the health regulations. There was a health inspector. You couldn't call him inspector, but he was John Fenn. He was actually a health inspector in Singapore. He also went there, Mr. John Fenn. Incidentally, his son is a choreographer, Delhi choreographer today, and he was very good.
So this settlement center was the sole responsibility of the organizers?
Yes, yes. As I said, no careless sort of letting go of things to get out of hand, you know. Everything was well under control. No slumming business. No such thing as you take whatever you can and you just put up whatever you can until the whole place looks a horrible slummy affair.
Were there any local people staying near the Andau settlement?
Local? What do you mean by that, please?
Those who were residents there in Malaya, in Andau.
Oh no, definitely they were for Singaporeans who wish to evacuate from Singapore. Strictly no other person except Singaporean or Japanese, for that matter. Japanese was least of all. No Japanese could stay there.
What about outside the settlement? Were there local residents staying nearby?
The Malays, of course. The Malays were all around. And I should say they were all very friendly. If they were wondering why the Chinese would like to go to such places. And they really were quite surprised that some of us were quite knowledgeable in a number of things.
Could you tell us the procedures for getting your land? How were you allocated your piece of land?
No, just I was just given a slip of paper, and I was told my brother-in-law, my brother Mr. Tan, he's Mr. Tan Kim Chong's brother. He was in the construction section. He said, "You know, your land is here. They just come and tell you your land is here." They wrote in Chinese. A lot of things were done in Chinese, and then they were given lot number so and so. I said, "Please come and show me." And he just brought me along. And we went to find the pigs. I said, "This is yours." And I asked him, I trusted him. I said, "Are you sure this is mine?" I said, "Yes, yes." And so I started to work on it. And nobody argued the factors. And that was that.
Did they do that to every family?
Yes.
Going to them personally and giving them their...
If they were uncertain, you see. If they wanted to be certain that the plots were correct ones, they asked the surveyor or the assistant surveyor or his assistants to help.
So every person, every family was given their lot?
Yes,
personally.
And he could go to the office to check up. And there was one instance where and there was an argument in my paddy field because somebody said, "I say your paddy field looks rather small. It should be bigger, you know. I think the paper mill has taken part of a paddy field." I said, "No, cannot be." I said, you go and find out." So when I went to find out with my surveyor friend, true enough, they had taken so many square feet. And Mr. G.H. Kett, Mr. Gold Kett, he was one of the chief administrators. He arbitrated and gave me a compensation of 800 Japanese dollars for that difference. He said, "You no use in getting that portion back because the paper mill had already put up some part of the machine over your land. I spend so much money." So I said, "All right, I don't want that piece of land anyway."
Who operated the paper mill?
I don't know. One of those people, I suppose. They were making the kind of rough paper, you know, for funerals and for chochua, you know, the rough type of paper the Chinese people use.
It belongs to one of the settlers.
It must be. As I said, the Chinese are very enterprising. When there's a need, they know how to supply that need and make a profit out of it.
Do you remember how much land were you given?
2 acres of paddy and 2 acres of dry land. Dry land for obviously for farming, and wet land for rice, planting of rice.
When you were allocated your piece of land, did they give you any instructions as to what you should do to that piece of land? Or did
no.
they leave you the freedom to do what you want to do?
Yes, we were given the freedom to do what we wanted. And even